Today on Seculo, an unbelievable discovery made in the Biden document scandal.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
All right, welcome back to Seculo. We're taking your calls to 1-800-684-3110. A lot to talk about today involving Joe Biden. Another revelation about the documents that were held by his attorneys at the Penn Biden Center, how they got to Boston, how they got to the National Archives, and why the National Archives still hasn't opened 9 of those boxes. So we'll talk about that. We'll also talk about the CDC. Former director of the CDC, you remember him during the COVID crisis, Robert Redfield. He's had the beard. Bald, someone pretty memorable to see testifying on Capitol Hill that Fauci basically squashed all of the discussion or research into whether or not the lab leak could have been possible. So he testified to that under oath, that Fauci basically put the kibosh on anybody looking into whether or not a lab leak and not a transmission from the wet market could have been responsible for the release of COVID-19 and the pandemic across the world. So, I mean, that's very interesting because we're hearing that back and forth with Fauci of, oh, I just thought it was more likely it would come from that. I wouldn't stand in the way. And now people are starting to testify that he was actually standing in the way. And I mean, this is not about vaccines. This isn't about where you're on that. This is going back to the origins of COVID and who's responsible and why these top doctors and scientists like Fauci, were protecting the Chinese Communist Party. Why were they so bent on protecting the Chinese Communist Party? You know, I know we sent some money, and we should never be sending money for gain-of-function research, but what else were these people getting in return? I mean, I think that's the bigger question. And was it the money that flows through the Gates Center? And are they, is it, again, this idea that we've got to protect the Chinese? So we'll talk about that as well. We got Mike Pompeo. Rick Grinnell is also joining us today. Grinnell first, then Mike. Will be joining us as well. So a lot to talk about here. And I just want to remind you, this document scandal is still ongoing. So I will break it down for you when we come back for the break even more. But 9 boxes of documents got shipped by Biden's attorney, Patrick Moore, to his law office in Boston before. Okay, I want to make sure this is clear to everybody. That was before the 10 classified documents that were discovered at the Penn Biden Center. Remember, that was on November 2nd, but they shipped an additional 9 boxes over to the law office. And remember, there was some discussion about that Boston law office and having some of those materials there. Eventually, we now learn that on November 3rd, that the National Archives picked those boxes up, okay? But they have not reviewed the contents. It's just very bizarre to me when you look at this. Again, that everything was supposed to be done. I thought everything has been searched. And I want you to understand that so far, for whatever reason, these boxes were taken away before the, quote, discovery of the other 10 classified documents, before the raids, or whatever you want to call them, before the FBI went into search. And then now that the National Archives has the boxes since November, but they haven't looked to see what's inside. So what game is going on? I mean, there's no explanation. Is it attorney-client privilege? But they gave the boxes over to the National Archives. I mean, they don't know if it's nothing if they haven't looked in. It's just, again, you see the dual treatment. The ridiculousness of having all these special counsels, like the Department of Justice can't do the job on their own. That's why that whole idea of special counsel is just absurd. It's just taxpayers paying double what the DOJ should already be able to do if they really do believe a crime has been committed. We'll take your calls as well at 1-800-684-3110. The CDC director, former CDC director, saying, no, Fauci said, don't talk lab leak, don't look into lab leak, can't be lab leak. It's very early on in the origins of COVID when people are just trying to figure out, how did this start? What are we dealing with? Was it lab created, which is very different and even more dangerous? Just an animal transition. We're taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back on Seculo. Kill, we are taking your calls to 1-800-684-3110. Two topics I wanted to focus on right off the bat. One is this idea that there are 9 boxes of documents shipped by Joe Biden's attorney before the discovery of the 10 classified documents at the Penn Biden Center, Washington, D.C. These were shipped to his office in Boston. Then they were shipped there, eventually they get to National Archives in November. I mean, so not like just like last week. But now that this has been uncovered, the question is, for National Archives, okay, was there anything there? Oh, we haven't looked yet. That was their official statement. NARA, which is the National Archives and Records Administration, has not reviewed the contents of the boxes found at Mr. Moore's Boston office. Has the special counsel? There's a special counsel. I mean, who's it even in possession? I guess it would be National Archives, but the special counsel would certainly have access to it if they wanted to. And so, again, we are taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. The second topic as well, and we're going to talk about the Afghan withdrawal. That's also an issue we'll talk about later in the broadcast. Well, we'll talk about it with Mike Pompeo as well. And this sniper involved who was testifying on Capitol Hill, that they had already located the person who was really leading the efforts that led to the death of those 13 men and women who serve our country on that botched withdrawal from Afghanistan. So we'll be taking your calls on that. We'll be getting into all those topics, as well as the CDC, this testimony from the former director of the CDC, Robert Redfield, saying, you know what, in fact, it was Fauci. It's interesting because I don't beat up on these guys all that often, but the fact is that we're learning more and more that internally he's even telling the CDC director, you know, cut it out, don't look there, when it came to the possibility of COVID being leaked from a lab, which is now the going top. I'd say that's where people believe is most likely, and it went from you'd be suppressed online, your messages were taken off social media if you happen to even bring up the idea of a lab leak, and that there could have been intentional or unintentional action by the Chinese on that issue. So 1-800-684-3110, that's 1-800-684-3110. And we'll get to the phone, your phone calls as well. So we'll talk National Archives. We'll talk the CDC and the issue there with the former CDC director testifying as well. And we'll talk about those issues. And we want to hear from you on the broadcast too at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Let me play this sound. Remember this. This is in January. It was supposed to all be done, remember? And then we found out after this statement, it really still wasn't done when it came to the classified documents and the dual standard, the difference in treatment between a Republican, or let's just be honest, Donald Trump, and everyone else. Because even Pence hasn't gone through what Trump went through. And certainly Biden, they won't even, they don't call it a raid, even though, imagine the FBI going through all of your belongings for 12 hours throughout your homes and your offices. So take a listen. This is Bite 2022.
You said that the search has been completed, but is the president confident that there are no additional documents with classified markings that remain in any other additional locations?
Look, I can just refer you to what his team said. The search is complete. He is confident in this process, and I will leave it there.
So there you go. It's complete. But we do know that that wasn't clear. That wasn't actually done either. This is not complete. This is not done. Because there were 5 more pages of classified documents discovered January 14th. That was just hours after the statement of January 12th saying, there's nothing to see here, no issue here, this is totally complete. I want to go to Rick Riddell. Rick, joining us, our Senior Advisor for National Security and Foreign Policy. I mean, Rick, this admission by the National Archives that there's 9 more boxes that they got from Joe Biden's attorneys that were taken out of the Penn Biden Center before the FBI got to look there, before the classified documents were given over, and they haven't opened them. They haven't looked at the boxes. I mean, that was their official statement today to the press when this story started breaking.
Well, what's really unbelievable is that, remember, these boxes are either coming from Senator Joe Biden or Vice President Joe Biden, not President Biden. That's a distinction because he does not have the ability to declassify information like Donald Trump does. or like Donald Trump did. And so what is really important to note here is that they are not being transparent. This is a drip, drip, drip of more boxes, more information. They did not have a strategy of going in to every possible location and seizing and searching everything, including closets of Joe Biden, which is exactly what they did with Donald Trump. So we go back to the same old thing, Jordan, where the weaponization of government by the left on conservatives continues. It's hypocritical and it's massively inappropriate because they do not have the same rules for themselves. And that's where the credibility of DOJ and FBI and all of these people investigating the subject, they have a huge credibility problem with the American people, and they just don't get it.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I just don't understand, Rick. It doesn't make sense. There's special counsels involved here. And why it's weird that National Archives didn't just say, well, that's up to the special counsel. I mean, but they have to, they actually still are the guardians of these records. If the special counsel that's investigating Biden wanted access to them, you would go to the National Archives. They didn't indicate that. They didn't say, well, this is, you know, this is being taken over by the special counsel, which leads you to believe, too, is, again, Donald Trump gets treated differently. And I point this out. It's not even Republicans. It's Donald Trump gets treated differently than everyone else in this situation.
Well, it's the ends justify the means. They do not want the outsider coming in. Donald Trump has demonstrated that he is completely the outsider from Washington, D.C., doesn't play by their rules, doesn't care about the same things that they care about. And so, therefore, they are trying to destroy him because he is effectively implementing a reform package in Washington, D.C. Look, the place doesn't want to be reformed. It's like trying to go to Los Angeles and trying to reform Hollywood. They're going to try to kill you before they let the place be reformed. But Donald Trump has demonstrated that he's relentless, that he is taking every hit and turning it around, and he continues to beat them at their game. I believe that they are very nervous about Donald Trump coming back and knowing what he knows now, how quickly he could implement reforms.
Yeah. I wanted to go to a second issue, Rick, which we've seen this testimony in the withdrawal from Afghanistan. It's pretty troubling when we when you look at it. This report that a veteran, a Marine sergeant, who was a sniper team and was assisting the evacuation of the airport, and testified that they had the ability to take out one of those terrorists, and they could not get the authority to take the shot. I mean, so we're learning even more still. I mean, a lot of these issues that come up and people start, you know, it's after a couple months of it being a hot topic. But because of House Republicans, we're starting to get a lot more information here about why 13 Americans were killed.
Yeah, we really need to encourage these House Republicans to continue their work, to keep fighting, because they're starting to overturn rocks that have a lot of information in it. So we all need to be encouraging our legislators to keep up the transparency. This testimony yesterday was heartbreaking, Jordan. I found myself really emotionally invested in what America stands for and how many young men and women signed up to really be representatives of the United States in ways that is really humbling for the rest of us. But we owe it to them to have transparency. We owe it to them to have a government that has their back, that is willing to be honest about the mistakes that were made. This is now all coming to light. Seeing the parents have some sort of a relief that this is beginning to happen. It's just the beginning, but I think that this is years late, and it just demonstrates just how weak the Pentagon has been and was through this process.
Rick, as always, I appreciate all of your insight into this. And folks, we come back, we're going to join my Mike Pompeo. I'm going to get into that further on the Afghan withdrawal and that testimony. It was powerful. From it was Marine Sergeant Tyler Vargas Andrews, who lost multiple organs and two limbs in that blast. So, I mean, these are the sacrifice, the blast that killed 13. And we cannot forget that these moments are still being investigated. Joe Biden called it, quote, an extraordinary success. 13 dead Americans, Americans that were left behind, Afghan allies that we left behind who are on Taliban kill list. Again, folks, it's just unacceptable. But you see why these elections do have consequences in a positive way as well. Support the work of the ACLJ. ACLJ.org. Donate today. We have a matching challenge. You can double the impact of your donation at ACLJ.org. We'll be right back. Secular. We're joined by our Senior Counsel for Global Affairs, former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. And Secretary Pompeo, a lot I want to talk to you about. First off, this really heartbreaking testimony from just a great American, Marine Sergeant Tyler Vargas Andrews, who testified yesterday on Capitol Hill about the Afghan withdrawal and specific in the situation. When he testified, he told lawmakers that his sniper team had detailed information about the bomber who killed 13 of our military and could have taken out the terrorists, but were told to stand down by a commander in charge. And yet, Joe Biden calls this an extraordinary success. Not only do we have these 13 Americans who were killed, and then those who were seriously injured, like Sergeant Vargas, but also these opportunities that were obviously missed.
Jordan, Sergeant Vargas' story is heartbreaking. He is an American hero, as were all the men and women who served in Afghanistan in our intelligence agencies and in the military for two decades. To watch what happened there, and we've talked about this a bit before, to watch what happened there is not only heartbreaking in the personal level, to see what actually happened to our guys on the ground where we lost 13 Americans, but all the Americans that we left behind, all of our allies who fought alongside of us who we left behind. And when President Biden says this was successful, or when he said we all withdraw responsibly, we know that's just gaslighting the American people. We neither left responsibly, nor did we do so in a way that was decent. And the ramifications are deep and lasting. The whole world saw that debacle, and America's place in the world was diminished in addition to the terrible tragedies that happened on the ground that day that Sergeant Vargas so heartbreakingly testified about yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, let me just play it for people. This is about 50 seconds. This is Sergeant Vargas Andrews testifying about this opportunity to kill the suicide bomber and how he did not get the authority to do so and tried to go up the chain of command. I mean, he's brave to testify. He was brave in this situation. He would even bypass his commander, saying, I'm not sure why we're being told to stand down. Take a listen, bite three.
Over the communication network, we passed that there was a potential threat and an IED attack imminent. This was as serious as it could get. I requested engagement authority while my team leader was ready on the M110 semi-automatic sniper system. The response, leadership did not have the engagement authority for us. Do not engage. I requested for the battalion commander, Lieutenant Colonel Brad Whited, to come to the tower to see what we did. While we waited for him, psychological operations individuals came to our tower immediately and confirmed the suspect met the suicide bomber description. He eventually arrived and we showed him our evidence, the photos we had of the two men. We reassured him of the ease of fire on the suicide bomber. Pointedly, we asked him for engagement authority and permission. We asked him if we could shoot. Our battalion commander said, and I quote, "I don't know," end quote. Myself and my team leader asked very harshly, "Well, who does? Because this is your responsibility, sir."
It's just very, very powerful. And Secretary Pompeo, you have military background, CIA background. The courage for him to get up there and testify this way. I mean, he lost two limbs, organs, was injured as well to testify this way. It is fairly remarkable. But I always want to be a reminder to people that when we have those situations like the withdrawal in Afghanistan and how botched it was and the outrage that was built really across all American people, it was not a partisan moment at all. But then we tend to kind of move on. And then you get a reminder that there's a lot of folks who can't, we're never going to be able to totally be able to move on. And in their mind, think they could have done something more, and they just didn't get the authority to do so.
No, Jordan, you have it exactly right. We can never forget these things. Sometimes we raise them up to a level that's abstract, but the human reality, as I was a young lieutenant a long time ago now, but the human reality of what he experienced that day that he so unbelievably bravely testified about yesterday always reminds us that when we talk about the military becoming woke, or we talk about rules of engagement that don't let our soldiers protect themselves, these aren't abstract ideas, these aren't policies, these aren't principles. They impact families and Americans and our security. We got to get them right. And that was a heartbreaking reminder of when there's confusion and failed leadership at the top, what that means for those folks who are actually on the ground tasked with executing the mission in the way that Sergeant Vargas was that day.
You know, continuing on Afghanistan, because we've heard more testimony as well, and that we've seen this latest report from the Special Inspector General for the Afghan Reconstruction. And this report just came out late last month as people are going through it. And now, as people are combing through that report, Secretary Pompeo, we now know that the Special Inspector General believes that the Taliban is in possession of nearly $7.2 billion worth of U.S. taxpayer-funded weapons, ammunition, and aircraft, including 78 aircraft worth nearly $1 billion. I mean, 9,500 air-to-ground munitions valued at $6.5 million, over 40,000 vehicles, 300,000 weapons, basically all the surveillance and communications and biometric equipment that we provided to the Afghan Defense Forces that were left behind. This goes to that entire theory. If you're going to withdraw and you've got this kind of equipment on the ground, do something about that, whether it's secured, whether it's destroyed, before you leave it to the Taliban.
Jordan, I lived this for 4 years. We were working our tails off to get out of there as quickly as we could. President Trump had made a campaign promise we were going to get our young men and women back, and we did. We brought a lot of equipment back. We went from 15,000 uniformed folks on the ground to just over 2,500. But we were determined not just to get out, right? That's the easy part in some ways. We were determined to keep Americans safe, to keep relative stability, and to get all of our stuff out of the hands of the Taliban before we departed, at least all the complex stuff. Look, some of this equipment will end up being broken. They won't be able to maintain it, but something bad could easily happen. And they could certainly sell it to others as well, even if the Taliban can't use it. But they'll sell it to others who can. This is a real risk. And the mistake of picking a political date and saying we're going to be out on this date is a direct cause of what you're seeing today. And the Inspector General's report is a symptom of that terrible leadership decision President Biden made.
You know, when we look at that, and then we go to the new DNI report. There's a new 2023 report, the threat assessment they have to do. And the new DNI report, it says that when it comes to Al-Qaeda, the intelligence community has assessed that the threat to the terrorist organization, that whatever it poses, will depend on the Taliban itself. And they're kind of like, are we asserting any kind of pressure on the Taliban? I mean, just to say, well, it'll be up to the Taliban whether or not Al-Qaeda continues on or is able to rebuild.
Jordan, the Al-Qaeda problem is not just an Afghanistan problem. We should absolutely be applying pressure to the Taliban. We knew how to do it. We did it for 4 years. I mean, this is not theoretical. We know how to do that. But this Al-Qaeda problem is bigger than that. I didn't see that particular piece of the report, but make no mistake about it. Al-Qaeda, while diminished in Afghanistan, is still very capable in Africa. It's still very capable in other parts of the world. It's being run, incidentally, we forget about this. The headquarters for Al-Qaeda's operations today are in Iran, in Tehran, Iran. Not in Afghanistan, not in the Fatah, but in Iran. And this administration is playing footsie with the Iranian regime still, while they are hosting and harboring terrorists, the leaders, the operational leaders of Al-Qaeda. This is all deeply connected, Jordan. We have to continue to put pressure. This counterterror campaign has to be maintained for American security and to honor the service of so many who fought and lost their lives in the counterterrorism campaign over the last two decades.
Secretary Pompeo, as always, I appreciate all of your insight and as your service to us as our Senior Counsel for Global Affairs, which, again, is really priceless for our audience as well, because when these topics come right up, we don't have to wait a week here to bring you the experts. Think about what you just had in, 16 minutes of this broadcast? You had the former Director of National Intelligence, who's part of the ACLJ team, weighing in on these issues. You had the former Secretary of State and CIA Director weighing in on these issues. You don't have to wait for it. Support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org. Double your impact today with our matching challenge. Back with our second half hour.
Keeping you informed and engaged. Now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Folks, there's a lot uncovered yesterday on Capitol Hill with the testimony. Now I want to go to the CDC. Many times throughout COVID, and I think there were actors who were, again, you could tell, were trying to do a good job. I think that Director Redfield was one of those folks, and certainly was sidelined immediately by the Biden team. I think he was immediately moved out. I don't know if that was timing, but he was the head of the CDC, and he testified yesterday. And I love Jim Jordan, and it's not just because we share a name, or that he's a Republican or a conservative from Ohio, but it's the fact that he's not letting up on these issues. And he's going to sources that the media can't discount. This isn't like a random staff person at the CDC or a random person within a department. This is the head of the CDC, the Center for Disease Control, a former head. Dr. Robert Redfield, and he testified yesterday under oath on the origins of COVID. Why was the lab leak just thrown out the window immediately? And why was that disinformation or misinformation to even discuss it? Maybe this lab in Wuhan messed up. So not even blaming them 100%. Of course, if you want to talk that way, you can also say, well, how do we rule out an intentional leak? But certainly it should be fair to at least discuss the possibility of an unintentional leak from a lab that just didn't meet the standards to be doing this kind of dangerous research. I mean, playing with death, literally, with the gain of function research. Take a listen to this exchange between Dr. Redfield, the former head of the CDC during COVID. He was on the COVID task force, and Congressman Jim Jordan.
Dr. Redfield, you ran the CDC and you were on the coronavirus task force. Is that right?
Correct.
That was formed on January 29th, 2020. Is that right?
Correct.
2 days later, Dr. Fauci gets an email from Dr. Anderson, which says what? Virus looks engineered, virus not consistent with evolutionary theory. Is that accurate?
That's my understanding.
Did he share that email with you, by the way, Dr. Redfield?
No.
As a member of the task force, as a head of CDC, did he share that email with you?
No.
Okay. Next day, February 1st, Dr. Gary sends Dr. Fauci another email. That email says, I don't know how this happens in nature, but it would be easy to do in a lab. Did he share that email with you, Dr. Redfield?
No.
You didn't see either one of those emails, even though you're head of CDC, even though you're on the coronavirus task force that had been formed just 2 days, 3 days earlier.
No.
2 and 3 days before Fauci's getting emails from his colleagues who are experts, not being 100%, which is, again, no one is saying you had to be 100% there. It's just the idea that you couldn't even discuss the possibility that a lab in China that doesn't meet international standards was playing with the dangerous, deadly virus and messed up. So you're not even blaming the Chinese there for intentional conduct, but instead of, maybe negligence. And you couldn't even talk about it. But then you had, now we have these experts. I mean, these are not kooks testifying, let's be honest. This is the former head of the CDC, like him or not. And the information is kept from them. 2 days after the coronavirus task force is formed, Fauci's not sharing with the team that his expert friends think this would be a lot easier to do in a lab. I mean, the direct quote from one of these doctors, Dr. Gary, was that, I don't know how this happens in nature. So the idea that this would be in a wet market would be pretty tough to explain, but it would be easy to do in a lab. That was written to Dr. Fauci. Dr. Anderson wrote into Dr. Fauci, this virus looks engineered, not consistent with evolutionary theory. We have more from that hearing, we'll play for you as well. But you see, for some reason, and again, this wasn't about vaccines, this was about protecting the Chinese and protecting whatever illegal activity was going on at that Wuhan Institute of Virology, because remember, we're not supposed to be funding gain-of-function research. And yet somehow they were getting some funding. I think we don't even know the beginning of how much funding they got, because that amount is still pretty low. I think it was much more, and it may have been going out to people that we don't know who may have been on the payrolls. Be right back on Second. Secchio. We are taking your phone calls, too, at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. I do, again, this exchange between the CDC director and these congressmen who are in the exchange under oath on the origins of COVID. So we're not, again, this is not to get into the vaccine. This is not about that. It's not about the business of that or whether or not right, wrong. None of that. This is about how did it start? Where did it begin? And I think every American wants to know who is responsible. How do we prevent this from happening again? And why are we, if it is at the Wuhan Institute of Virology, can't the world do more to prevent this kind of gain-of-function research? What is there any, which I don't see any reason why. They never say why they need to do this research. Why do they need to take a virus and make it more deadly so they can figure out how to beat it, even though it doesn't exist in nature? So, again, yesterday, the former CDC director, Robert Redfield, was testifying to the I guess it was the House Judiciary Committee. And he was asked by Congressman Jordan, we played that exchange about how Fauci kept all the information from other experts that were coming into his email saying this was the CDC, saying this was this doesn't look like something that would be created in nature. It'd be easy. That was one of the doctors said it'd be easy to create in a lab. Another said, listen, it looks engineered. It's not consistent with the evolutionary theory of these viruses. But the questioning went on. This is Congressman Brad Winstrup of Ohio. Take a listen.
In one sentence, can you provide a definition of gain-of-function research? And I say that because there becomes a little semantics sometimes, I believe, yeah, within the scientific community of what is a chimera and what is gain-of-function?
Yeah, I think it's to take a pathogen and try to increase one of two things or both, to increase its transmissibility or its pathogenicity. I disagree with some of my colleagues at NIH to say the definition's restricted to a pathogen that's already a pathogen. If I make a non-pathogen pathogenic, that's gain of function.
So in your expert opinion, was the Wuhan Institute conducting gain of function research on coronaviruses? Thank you.
So there you go. Because there's even been debate about that. This discussion again. So I'm really glad that the former CDC director is speaking out, not afraid. I feel like because we've gotten outside of the virus being, and that was their real focus, is of course getting us through that, that they have this opportunity now as a former director to come and testify about what was going on. We know it was a hectic time. We know it was a tough time, but the information, he was on the head of the coronavirus task force, not getting complete information because for some reason, Fauci didn't want people to even consider the idea that this could be leaked out from a lab. And I don't know why yet, what financial interest, because this is different than the vaccine, what financial interest he would have in protecting the Chinese, because it looked like he was just sending money over to the Chinese. So what's the return there? Why the need to protect the Chinese Communist Party so aggressively when your colleagues are telling you directly, and these are people that has, you know, his email, go right to him and say, this looks like something we definitely would create in a lab, not something through evolution. It'd be easy to create in a lab, is what one of the doctor's emails to Fauci said. Doesn't share that with the rest of the coronavirus task force, and certainly not the head of the CDC at the time, Robert Redfield. I do want to go to the Afghanistan testimony as well. I want to play this for you. It's a little bit longer, and we haven't had a chance to play it yet. This is the testimony from Sergeant Vargas Andrews, who testified yesterday about the experience with the withdrawal, the attempt to take out the bomber, the sniper team not getting authority to do that. He goes into that more detail here by two.
He was spotted somewhere from noon to 1 p.m. by myself, then Sergeant Charles Schilling, and another. The anomaly in the crowd, who was clean-shaven and fit the description exactly, traveling with an older gentleman. The individual was consistently and nervously looking up at our position through the crowd. The older of the two wore a black silky hijab that was covering his face most of the time. They both had obvious mannerisms that go along with who we believed him to be. They handed out small cards to the crowd periodically, and the older man sat calmly and seemingly coached the bomber. Over the communication network, we passed that there was a potential threat and an IED attack imminent. This was as serious as it could get. I requested engagement authority while my team leader was ready on the M110 semi-automatic sniper system. The response, leadership did not have the engagement authority for us. Do not engage. I requested for the battalion commander, Lieutenant Colonel Brad Whited, to come to the tower to see what we did. While we waited for him, psychological operations individuals came to our tower immediately and confirmed the suspect met the suicide bomber description. He eventually arrived and we showed him our evidence, the photos we had of the two men. We reassured him of the ease of fire on the suicide bomber. Pointedly, we asked him for engagement authority and permission. We asked him if we could shoot. Our battalion commander said, and I quote, "I don't know," end quote. Myself and my team leader asked very harshly, "Well, who does? Because this is your responsibility, sir." He again replied, he did not know, but would find out. We received no update and never got our answer. Eventually, the individual disappeared. To this day, we believe he was a suicide bomber. We made everyone on the ground aware. Operations had briefly halted, but then started again. Plain and simple, we were ignored.
I want to go to Wes Smith, who directs our military policy. Wes, it was a powerful testimony. He sacrificed a lot as well. And he had this opportunity that he believes to take out the one of the leaders who was planning this bombing attack. So we now know that they were watching them do this.
Yeah, absolutely.
Days before the actual attack occurred that killed the 13 Americans.
Right. Our intel community had given these Marines a detailed description of the suicide bomber. And their question, it was a good question. They ran it back up the chain of command. If you know who he is and where he is and his assistant, why haven't you arrested and detained him? And the intel community said, well, that would compromise the asset, the person who had identified the bomber. And so nothing was done. But here's the thing. The whole issue is surrounded by this, and that is this was a military evacuation run by the State Department and some civilian bureaucrats. That is always a recipe for disaster. If the State Department wants to execute an evacuation and they assign the military to do that, you need to let the military do what they do. But they were being micromanaged by the Department of State, and that's what led to this. The other thing, rules of engagement in the military, at least in all of my deployments, have been very, very clear. And soldiers, sailors, Marines, airmen, if they are under imminent threat, you always have the right to fire in self-defense. This was an imminent threat, as we obviously know right now. And yet the bureaucracy was so mucked up, they could not get permission to fire, even from their own battalion commander. And of course, the result of all of this is you had 13 U.S. military personnel killed. You had 45 military personnel catastrophically wounded. And of course, 170 Afghans also died in this. It is not how it should be. I thought their testimony yesterday was touching. And as I listened to it, I thought about my own time at Dover Air Force Base and how I sat down with over 1,000 families who had lost loved ones in Afghanistan. And when they hear testimony like this and they hear what the backstory is and their loved ones died, for the Gold Star families, it gives them more questions. It discourages them, but it also, Jordan, it compounds their sense of loss.
Yeah, and then we get further reports, which is just really troubling, because you're hearing how, again, from Sergeant Vargas Andrews, who just said it was just a disaster. And yet we were told by President Biden he called it an extraordinary success. Further report has come out from the Special Inspector General for the Afghan Reconstruction. $7.2 billion in U.S. taxpayer-funded weapons, ammunition, and aircraft left behind by the Biden administration and our military, along with the Afghan military at the time. We have no indication that any of these were basically made unusable. And Secretary Pompeo was on earlier, he said some of this, obviously, they won't be able to keep up necessarily, but ground munitions they can utilize, vehicles they can utilize. They haven't been great at utilizing the aircraft necessarily, but more than 300,000 other kinds of more simple weapons, night vision, surveillance. We saw a glimpse, I don't know if we have the image we can pull up, but of what the Taliban's security looked like when they took over Kabul, and they weren't dressed in robes.
No.
The leaders were, but their security looked like they were wearing top of the line. The newest, latest military gear.
Yeah, absolutely, they were. And this goes to further point out how awfully, you know, messed up this evacuation was. The president calls it an unqualified success. I've been on a number of combat deployments. When we redeployed, we took our time and we took our equipment with us. You don't leave it behind for the enemy to use. And yet this was done in such a rush. and with poor planning that we left the equipment behind instead of redeploying with our equipment. And now we know that they knew the Taliban was eventually going to take over. So the end result is the Taliban, a terrorist group, is now the most well-armed terrorist group in the world.
All right, folks, I want to ask you this final segment coming up. I want to hear from you directly. You heard the testimony from the former CDC director. What do you think should happen next? I mean, obviously Fauci needs to testify under oath, and subpoenas probably need to go. Why were we suppressed by even discussing the idea that there was a potential lab leak? So where do you want it to go next? Who else do you want to hear testimony from? 1-800-684-3110 to be part of the show. That's 1-800-684-3110. Call that number now. We'll be right back on Seculum. To Seculum. My brother Logan joins now. I want to play this for you again. This, to me, it's just infuriating because you were told it was mis- and disinformation. I believe actually the beginning of the divide in America over COVID, which should never have become a partisan issue, right? But they have to make everything political. The beginning of it was, how did this even start? Because they had to politicize even the ideas, okay, of experts and non-experts that, okay, it came out of China. But then we were told 100% this is from bats in Wuhan that people eat, and it's from these wet markets.
Don't look at that giant building that says coronavirus on the side of it.
No, don't look at that. Don't look at the fact that they've got a virology institute, the Wuhan Institute of Virology, which has problems meeting international standards. We know is doing research they shouldn't, and is where we send money to do research that's banned in the United States, which is gain-of-function research, which is banned because it is so dangerous to take an actual virus, make it more dangerous in a lab so that you can try to create the cure. But of course, if it gets out before you have that, guess what you have? An international pandemic without a response to it. So you have to actually just let it kind of fade out through over time and the vaccine, all of those issues. But the divide in America, Logan, began not over the vaccine, but over where this started. Yeah. And they actually censored you online if you said that there was a chance that this happened out of the Wuhan lab. Because of all the places it created in China,
yeah,
it comes from the one city that has this institute.
That has the coronavirus
institute. Because every city has a wet market.
Yeah, exactly. So when you look at it, if you want to look at the origin, it's hard to kind of get yourself back into it. No one wants to get yourself back into it. But yeah, the vaccine stuff came way later. Way later in that controversial. The divide came when people started sharing information about the origin of it, and then you were called racist, and that kind of stuff started happening. Here's what I want you to do. There are almost 5,000 of you just watching on Rumble. There are thousands watching everywhere and listening. But I'm going to ask you to click that follow button real quick if you're on Rumble. We'd appreciate that if you're brand new to this broadcast. Also, give us a call. We got 5 minutes. If you say you're from Rumble, we'll get you up sooner than anybody else. 1-800-684-3110. I want to see if you'll actually give us a call and get your voice here. We'll try to get as many as we can. 1-800-684-3110. Quick comments. All right. But yeah, I think that's absolutely right. Is there are people who are now seeing this and seeing that this corruption started very early.
And I want you to know that for a lot of you, and who say you wired to do this.
Of course, everyone knew all these things. But you are getting vindicated
today.
Yeah,
because the former CDC director, I don't care if you don't, maybe I don't need vindication, but sometimes you need these moments where you need the vindication because it's a wake-up call to make sure we don't get censored like that again. Okay, because I want you to play it for you again. That a member of the coronavirus task force who happened to be the CDC director at the time of COVID, which I would think outranked Fauci at the NIH, but Fauci, I guess, became the lead of the task force, gets asked by this yesterday under oath by Congressman Jordan. Quick line of questions. And that's why it's back in the news. Take a listen.
Dr. Repto, you ran the CDC and you were on the coronavirus task force. Is that right?
Correct.
That was formed on January 29th, 2020. Is that right?
Correct.
2 days later, Dr. Fauci gets an email from Dr. Anderson, which says what? Virus looks engineered, virus not consistent with evolutionary theory. Is that accurate?
That's my understanding.
Did he share that email with you, by the way, Dr. Redfield?
No.
As a member of the task force, as a head of CDC, did he share that email with you?
No.
Okay. Next day, February 1st, Dr. Gary sends Dr. Fauci another email. That email says, I don't know how this happens in nature, but it would be easy to do in a lab. Did he share that email with you, Dr. Redfield?
No,
you didn't see either one of those emails, even though you're head of CDC, even though you're on the coronavirus task force that had been formed just 2 days, 3 days earlier.
No.
What I'm trying to figure out here is I get why Fauci, the vaccine, so he's making money. He gets the Gates Foundation money. Okay. We all know that. Don't even have to go that route. Why is he protecting the Chinese? Because so far we haven't figured out. We know that he tried to send some money over
there.
Yeah,
there's funding.
It wasn't
things,
a
right?
lot of money.
Okay,
I mean, it was
remember.
Like $30,000 and $40,000, maybe a few hundred thousand dollars. But it didn't like he was getting anything. Now I want to know what companies he's on the getting back.
What was the
paid from the Chinese?
Yeah, if you're hiding this stuff,
you're most medications made there.
Well, you're not hiding it for no reason,
right? There's got to be. And this was not about the vaccine. There's some reason he didn't want the world, not just the American people, but the world. To think that it was potentially the Chinese. Maybe
or is it just he doesn't want science?
Maybe it is because
scientists.
He did allow the funding to go there.
Yeah.
And it,
even if it was a little bit.
At the backstage, it might just be that it looked like he supported somebody, which went towards this research. Yeah. That's the best you can think of, right? But none of it's acceptable. Because if you're that compromised and you're the head doctor at NIH, and you have to think like, I'm glad that we've come out of it. But we all know now that if these are lab created and these Chinese governments know what they can do to the world, the idea that it could happen again is much more likely. I feel like they always say this is 100 years into
right.
this. Every
and that's if it happened in nature.
That's if it's, yeah, which we now know is unlikely.
Unlikely the case that that's what happened. 100%
switch.
Yeah, and that's the truth. And like you said, that it's unlikely that it had anything to do with a natural biological moment that happened, a plague, if you will. If it actually was just what sound, which what we all believe and what it sounded like, a experiment gone bad.
It took the normal.
Or gone how they wanted it to go.
What do they call it? The normal COVID. There was already COVID.
Yeah.
That's why it's 19 and all that.
Yeah.
And they made it more dangerous to try and figure out either it was maybe because of animals.
It could be for nefarious reasons. It could have been for non-nefarious reasons.
Oh, yeah. We haven't gotten there. I mean, now I feel like if you do say lab leak, you have to say it was unintentional. Why?
I don't think you have to say that. I think you should have to say,
no, I know,
we don't know.
I feel like even saying that is very controversial now because that means...
That means they're creating bioweapons.
By the way, it's not racist.
I think we've gotten over that. I think a society, it's not Nancy Pelosi dancing in the streets anymore. Like, I think we've moved on past that.
No, no. I just think it's interesting that all this, whether it's Afghanistan's back in the news because of the we're starting to see testimony from former military about how bad the withdrawal was, the sniper who wasn't able to take the shot out. They knew who the bomber was.
Oh yeah.
So classic of Biden, and I get it, but they know who the bad guy is. They're watching him days before, which means they got intel on him, and they weren't authorized to take a shot. And maybe if that shot was taken, those 13 Americans would be alive today.
Yeah, at least a very good chance.
I mean, real consequences to this decision-making. And I always am reminded about what they said about Joe Biden. Always wrong on foreign policy. $7.2 billion worth of military equipment is still in the hands of the Taliban. That was the new Inspector General report. $7.2 billion. Now, yes, they have some things like aircraft. We were talking about Pompeo earlier. They're probably not going to be able to utilize that so well.
Yeah, you should go take a look.
Do we have the image? Yeah. This is what the Taliban looks like now. Now, look, you see the guys. That's the kind of old school. Do you have their... No, I want the picture of their security. That's the leaders.
Yeah. I'm not sure if we'll
their security is dressed in full-on fatigues,
yeah,
with flak jackets, with night vision. So when you zoom out from that picture, so when you zoom out from the picture, you see who the Taliban's protected by? Yeah. Not guys in robes.
No, it doesn't.
Guys in full-on commando.
Yeah, it actually looks like the military.
And it's our equipment.
Yeah. What I'd encourage you to do is also take a look at a documentary series we did last year called Revenge of the Taliban. Gives you a really deep dive into what it looked like over there last year. And now you can see. Well, that's at aclj.org/Taliban. That's one of the great projects we've been able to put out over the last year. Look, there's people who are running for president now that are on that special. You got Nikki Haley. You got Tulsi Gabbard. You got Mike Pompeo. Great. Obviously, you and Rick and everybody's on there. So take a look at that. Those are some of the great projects we do here at the ACLJ. We couldn't do it without your support as we wrap up here in our matching challenge.
That's right. Double the impact of your donation at aclj.org. That's aclj.org. Donate today. If you donate $25, the most simple way I can explain it to you, We've got a group of donors. They'll match all the donations, but if you donate at $25, we immediately then get a match of that $25 donation. Donate today at aclj.org. The Secular Brothers will be on the podcast later this afternoon. We'll talk to you tomorrow.